And so I want to continue our series. Now, I know it's Memorial Day weekend, holiday weekend, but I really don't want to get off track with our series. And so I want to continue our series on the family of God. Join me, if you would, in 2 Peter this morning, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Over the past few weeks, if you've been with us, we have highlighted what let's call these members the foundational members of the family. Right? Family of God, the foundational members of the family. And we spent a few weeks looking, highlighting these foundational members. We spoke about this. We spoke about God our Father, our Heavenly Father. Aren't you glad that you get to call God your Heavenly Father?
Amen.
God, our Heavenly Father. We looked at God the Son, Jesus, God's only begotten Son, Jesus. And then last week, if you remember, we spoke a little bit about the Holy Spirit. You remember that? If you have a habit of watching sermons, listening to messages online, let me encourage you to listen to last week, because it shows us the work the Holy Spirit of God does for us and in us. And I'll tell you, I thought that was helpful for me to do that study. It may be helpful for you. And by the way, you can go back to our website and you can watch all the services that we've had over the past year, I guess. I'm not sure how far it goes back. But if you miss one, and we're in a series and you want to catch up, you can go ahead and watch that on our website. What I want to do this morning is I want to broaden the discussion, looking at the family of God, but I want to broaden the discussion, and I want to speak to us about the importance of being equipped for life. Equipped for life. Think about that with me for a moment. Being equipped for life. Have you ever heard this statement? Some of you have. I know you have. Have you ever heard this? The father, the husband, the man, is the head of the home, and the woman is the heart. How many of you have heard that before? Yeah, it's not new, but I agree with it. I think that's what the Bible teaches, right? Some folks have called the wife, the mother, the woman, the Holy Spirit of the home, you know? And I live with a godly woman, and there's many times when she really is, she's kind of like the conscience of our home, you know, the Holy Spirit of the home. But think about that for a moment. The man, the father, the husband is the head of the home, and the woman, the wife, the mother, is the heart of the home. And I can prove that biblically. And I like to believe this. When they work together in the home, there's harmony, right? Think about this. Think about when your head and your heart work together. There's harmony in your body, right? Did your head ever go against your heart? Did your heart ever go against your head? Did your head say one thing, but your gut said another, and you listened to your gut, and you got in trouble? Or did your head say one thing, your gut said another, you listened to your head instead of your gut, and it was wrong? But when they work together in harmony, right? When they work together, there's harmony. And such is true in the home. So when the husband and the wife work together in the home, there's harmony. There's harmony in the family. And when that happens, we are then able to, as husband, as parents, we are then able to use our home as a launching pad. Now pay attention to this. We're able to use our home as a, did you ever hear this word, the institution of the home? The home is like an institution. It's a place where we teach. It's a place where we train. That's what our homes are to do. Our homes are to teach and train and develop and cultivate our young people. Or let me put it this way, we're to equip them for life. That's our job. Don't you agree? As parents, our job is to love them and lead them and care for them and nurture them and equip them for life, because one day they're going to move on, right? They're going to grow up. Hopefully they're going to move out. And they're going to start their own lives. And we want to make sure they're equipped to handle life. That's what the home does. And in the home, don't lose your place there. I promise you we're going to get to that text. But in the home, we teach our children things like manners and customs of our culture. How many agree that's important? It really is. I think it's important today for you and I as parents, you as parents, my kids are already raised, but me as a grandparent now, to help educate, equip our children, our grandchildren, and teach them some of the manners and customs of our culture, right? How many of us are put out when we come in contact with a younger person who just hasn't been taught manners, or they don't use good manners? You know, and there's no thank yous, or there's no excuse me's, or there's no you're welcomes, or... You know, for me, I'm an old schooler. I think that you can draw a line back to some kind of a neglect in the home. Something wasn't managed in the home. Something wasn't taught in the home. And then the cultures. Look here, Memorial Day, 4th of July. These are more than just days for picnics and fireworks. And I'm not sure what they're teaching in our schools these days, some of you are teachers, but I would hope that they're still teaching the importance of our history as Americans, so that our young people realize that on Memorial Day there were some folks in the past who sacrificed their lives so that we can be free today. Are you with me? Well, I can keep preaching that for the rest of this hour, but I'm a long ways from home. And I don't mean from home, I mean from home in my message. But when mom and dad, when they work together, there's harmony in the home, and then we begin to teach our children the important aspects of life. Not just manners and customs of our culture, but we begin to teach them about the dangers they'll face in life. It's for us to point these things out, right? We teach our young people how to work and be responsible and develop a good work ethic, right? Because nobody's born entitled. At least not in my family. I'm not sure about yours. They got to work for it. You know? You got to earn it. Right? And then we teach them how to have respect for self and respect for others. These are all lessons we teach in the home, because we're trying to, pay attention right here, equip our children for life. And really, you think about it, we only get one shot at it. Right? And so we got to make sure we're doing these things early on. We teach them about God and having a close, growing relationship with the Lord. And by the way, the best way to teach these lessons aren't just verbally, but they're also mechanically, where our children, they see us doing it. They see us saying thank you and yes and you're welcome and I'm sorry. Woo. Say it with me. I'm sorry. Say it with a smile. It doesn't hurt that much. I'm sorry. And we teach them about the importance, you know, of life, the important things of life. And I can go on and on and on with that. But that's our job at home, right? We're to equip our young people for life. Well, I said all that to say this. Such is true in the family of God. Such is true in the family of God. The church becomes like our home. Somebody say amen. I thought that was a fun statement. The church becomes like our home. And it becomes a place of equipping each of us for life. Right? I remember years ago when I would preach out a lot. I would be guest speaking here, there, wherever, years and years ago. And every once in a while, the pastor would always ask me, so when I get to introduce you, what's your upbringing? You know, what college you graduate from? And I used to like to say this, tell them I'm a product of the local church. Because basically everything that I've really have learned and everything that I've experienced and seen firsthand has been a result of being a member of a good church. Amen. Nothing like being a member of a good church. Amen. Some agree. Nothing like being a member of a good church, and a good church will equip you for life. That's our job. Notice the words of Peter here in this text. Look at chapter 1. I'm in 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's just read verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle. Aren't you glad he put servant before apostle? Of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he's speaking about us. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now that's a big statement. And many times when you get statements like that that don't seem to flow in your reading, you just kind of just skip right by them, right? How many are you with me right now? You with me? Well, go ahead and wave at me. Isn't that true? Do you ever see a statement that like the words are just not, they just don't flow like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, it's even hard to read this. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. It just seems to be just, do you ever overthink something? Do you ever try to over-explain something? It's almost as if Peter, I want to say to Peter, what do you really mean there? What are you saying to me there? Am I the only one who felt that way? What are you trying to say there? And I think what he's trying to say there, if I can just summarize it, and I asked Peter in my office if it'd be okay if I summarize for him, and he said, okie dokie. Here's what Peter is saying. He's saying this. He's saying that God's word supplies us with everything we need for life. That's what verse 3 is talking about, Kelly. God, God's Word, God's Spirit will supply us with everything we need for life. Did you ever think about this? I can't imagine. I really can't life without the help of God. I just can't. I got saved when I was 19 years old, so I've been saved for a long time. I couldn't imagine, Tony, going through life without God's help now. And I have been thrust into the chaos of many other people's lives. I mean, I've watched many people on their deathbed or in the worst moments of their life. And I was so glad that we had God right there to help us. And I was so thankful that I had God's word to, because my words are my words. And many times you get into a crisis moment, you don't know what to say. And I was thankful that I had God's word and I would be able to quote verses of scripture, you know, and just say, hey, listen to what the Bible says here in Psalm this or Psalm that, or listen to what Isaiah said about. Wow. I could not imagine life without the help of Almighty God, because sometimes life is hard. There's hard times in life and sometimes it can be crushing. Right? Crushing. Some of you have gotten that news. And without God, I guess we're left to figure it out on our own. But we are not left without God. Because as his children, by the way, I like where he says here, he's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. I have like precious faith. I'm born again. I'm saved. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again. I believe that he's coming back one day for me. I believe until then, he has given me the Holy Spirit who lives in me and lives through me and lives for me. So I'm not alone. I'm not alone. We have Jesus today at the right hand of the Father where he's praying for us and interceding for us. Boy, this morning I said, good morning, Father. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for representing me before the throne so that I can approach a holy God. I prayed that this morning, Brian. And it gave me confidence. But the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come before the throne of grace with confidence. And I did. Boldness, confidence. All because of my like precious faith that we have. So Peter says this. Peter says in this text of Scripture, God's word will equip us for life. Wow. We're held together by the power of the Lord. And everything that we need for life and godliness can be found right here. You believe that? Amen. That's why the Bible is such a precious book. And so the family of God is equipped for life at home. At home, because church becomes like our home. Do you ever hear how Paul refers to the church? Flip it for me, fellas. Look at this text of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, Paul's speaking to Timothy, if I tarry long, I'm writing so that you might know how to behave yourself Where? Where? In the house of God. In the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. I highlighted the house of God. Why? Because for a child of God, this is home. Amen. This is home. And the church is given the responsibility of equipping us for life. And so over the next couple of weeks, because we're in this series, The Family of God, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to try to lay out a framework of what that looks like. What does it mean to be equipped for life? What does that look like? How does God do that? How does He equip us for life? Are you with me now? You interested in this? All right, good. Let me just highlight this morning, and I'm not going to take a lot of time with this because this is going to be just an introduction to messages to come. But let me highlight how the church equips us for life. I want to mention two things this morning, just two things. The first thing I want you to notice is this: God uses gifted men. So how does God equip us for life? Right? You know what the home does, your home, right? As a parent, as a mother, as a father, as you work together, you're trying to equip your children for life, right? Well, the church equips us for spiritual life. You with me? How does God do that? Well, He uses, first and foremost, gifted men. Can I ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? I want you to see something here. Ephesians chapter 4. God uses gifted men. I'm gonna just pick through this a little bit, okay? And in Ephesians chapter number 4, look if you would at, where am I at here? I'm in the wrong text. Here we go. Let me begin in verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know what that word grace means right there? Look here for a second. It means enablement. So he says this: unto every one of us is given enablement. He gives us enablement. He gives us ability. He gives us power according to the measure of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse number 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So how does God build us up? How does God equip us for life? First and foremost, God uses gifted men. And in this text of Scripture, there are four groups of church leaders mentioned. Did you see it? Look at it again. I'm in verse 11. There are some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and that pastor teacher is one person. Because the role of a pastor is to teach. So God gives to the church, look up here, church, God gives to the church gifted men to help equip us for life. You agree with that? That's Bible. I showed you in the Bible. Let me just highlight each one of these individuals. The apostle. The apostles were foundational to the start of the church. The apostles had, and you know the fellows, right? You read about them. You can begin to trace their lives beginning in Matthew chapter 4, right? And then there's a couple that comes on after the scene, right? Paul comes in after the scene. He's an apostle. And there were certain, pay attention, right? There were certain qualifications for an individual to be classified as an apostle. But one of the things they had that we don't is this: they had these special abilities to do divine work that we don't have. And the reason God gave them that ability is because they didn't have a completed copy of the Word of God. So when somebody would come on the scenes back in that day and say, I am from God, because many people claim to be from God, what would differentiate them from someone who was? Well, God gave the apostles special abilities to heal people. You know, if you read through the text, if they were in a certain situation, they got bit by a serpent, they would not die. Right? And so on and so forth. And the reason God gave the gift of the apostle was for the founding of the New Testament church. However, today, and by the way, if your friend goes to a church and they call their pastor an apostle, don't take offense to that. Don't get all up in arms with him. Don't say, my pastor said this next statement. Here's the next statement. You ready? The gift of the apostle, the office of the apostle, is no longer in existence. Please don't fight with your worker at the cooler tomorrow or Tuesday and go and say, man, my pastor said to me, and you're going to a church that's not of God, because I'm going to get letters and letters and letters, and I'm not going to know what to do with them. And they're going to sue me for saying something like that. But according to the scripture, we believe the gift of the apostle is no longer in existence. Not necessary. You know why? Because we have the completed version of the Word of God. And then you have the prophet. Now, a prophet in Old Testament times, in prior times, would be someone who would be, now pay attention to this word, a foreteller. Which means this, he would speak about things that nobody else knew about. Where would he get it? He'd get it from God. God would speak to him, and then he would speak it. He would be a foreteller. But the gift of the prophet is no longer like that today. Am I helping anybody? No longer like that today. Today, the prophet is a forth-teller. See the difference? A foreteller, a forth-teller. And all we're doing today is forth-telling what's been foretold. So a prophet today doesn't come along with new revelation. Hello? If somebody comes to you and says, God told me to tell you, then you need to ask that person, where did you get that in Scripture? Because everything I tell you, I back up with book. But if I come along and say, Brian, God told me this week, you better give me your paycheck because you need to build your faith. Brian needs to say, would you show that to me in Scripture? Because I know the Bible tells me I'm supposed to tithe and give an offering, but you're not mentioned anywhere, Pastor. Hello? No, see, that's not a prophet. That's a false prophet. And there's a lot of them out there today. Right? And so what a prophet does today is simply foretells what's been foretold. We're a forth-tellers. Are you with me? And then you have the evangelist. The evangelist is a gift to the church, and it is in existence today. And what the evangelist does is he's a help, he's a support to the local church. He comes in and helps the pastor, helps feed the congregation, helps, you know, encourage the congregation. A lot of times the evangelists are traveling preachers, traveling speakers, traveling teachers. They go from church to church, right? That's their ministry, and they're a great gift. A man who has the real gift or office of an evangelist is a great blessing to the church, right? Don't you agree? And they come in and they're just a help to the church. And then there's some who think they are, but they're not. And you got to clean up after they leave. That's what you got to be careful of. And then you have the pastors, the pastor's teacher. Do you see that in that text of Scripture? Verse 11, pastor's teachers. He is the pastor is the under shepherd of the local church. Right? He is not the Lord of the church. He doesn't own the church. It's not his church. He's the under-shepherd, right? He is a specific individual for a specific church, right? I am the pastor of Open Bible Baptist Church in Williamstown, New Jersey. I am not the pastor of St. Matthew's Baptist Church in Williamstown, New Jersey. I have no authority there. I have no bearing there. I have no connection there. Other than he's my brother, he preaches the gospel, and I praise God for him. He pastors that church, I pastor this church. Amen. Right? And my job is to teach and encourage and equip you for life, spiritual life. Right? You say, oh, so God gives these gifted men, what's their responsibility? Look at verse 12. Here's the reason he gives them. For the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. Right? So God has given to the church gifted men, and their job is to help the church grow, mature, develop, cultivate their spiritual life. Does that make sense? Huh? And so for what reason? Well, let's read the rest of the verse. For the work of the ministry. So my job is to equip you so that you might do what? Say it with me, class, the work of the ministry. Somebody say, Pastor, what's the work of the ministry? Thank you for asking, Brian. Let's read the rest of that verse. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So my job is to help you mature so that you might do work of the ministry, which is the building up of the body of Christ. We're to build this body up. Hello? Huh? I've had folks ask me, Pastor, I like to be a part. I want to be a member of the demolition team. I like tearing down. But there should be no tearing down ministry in the local church. It should always be about building up, encouraging, helping, supporting. How many of us need that? Come on, let's be honest now. How many of us just love to get ripped apart? Huh? How many of us came to church today and said and pray, Lord, I hope the pastor today criticizes me, discourages me, and rips me apart? I know Barry prays that all the time. No, you didn't pray that. You said, Lord, I pray pastor has something that would help me today, encourage me today, refresh my faith today, be a blessing today. I hope the people I sit next to sing with all their heart. I hope they put their phone down and pay attention to the pastor. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Because I want you to know something. You do discourage people when you're on that phone while the pastor's preaching. Huh? People have told me that. Yeah. Look, we don't go to church to get discouraged. We come to church to be encouraged. Amen. To be lifted up. Amen. Right? Amen? And that's how God does it. How does he equip us for life? He uses gifted men. But here's a second. Here's a second thought. And we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come because I'm nearing my end of time. God uses Christian disciplines. God uses disciplines. Christian disciplines. And I put these things under this category simply because I wanted the category to put them under. But they really do stand alone. They speak for themselves. And so, look here. I'm going to try to wrap this up now. We are members of the family of God. Right? God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. We have a relationship with the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, Jesus. And when Jesus went back to heaven in Acts chapter number 1, verse 11, he sent us the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to take up residence inside of us. We are now members of his family, right? And members of, because we're members, he wants to equip us for life. How does he do it? Well, he gives us these gifted men and these disciplines. Let me give you just three disciplines. There's many, but I'm going to give you just three. The first one is this. God has given us his word. His word. The Bible. Are you glad you got a Bible? Huh? You got a Bible? I'm going to harp on this today. Bring your Bible to church. Look here. I read my Bible. I have this apparatus right here. It's an iPad. I love my iPad. Use it all the time. I really do. And I have an app on here called YouVersion. I use YouVersion every day of my life, Tony. You know, I read my Bible on it. I research on it. I do all kinds of stuff on it. I have another program called eSword. I use eSword all the time in building my messages. You know, just Bible references, and it's easy to find. And so I'm not against it at all. I love using. I have it on my phone. Got it on a tablet. I got it on my computer. Got it memorized. But when I come to church, how hard is it to bring your Bible to church? Huh? How hard is it? And don't you want your children to be in a habit? And I'm not trying to chide you this morning. I don't know what you got in your lap. I have no idea. But I know this. I know we've gotten away from bringing our Bibles to church. There's a lot of things we've gotten away from. We're letting get away from us. And it's not helping us. It's not changing us for better. It really isn't. How hard is it? So, Pastor, I don't want my neighbors to say, well, then leave it in your car. I'm not being funny. I'm just telling you, leave it in your car. Amen. Look here. Leave it here. I'll keep it in my office. Come in on Sunday morning and get it. Because all week long, you read your tablet, you read your phone. I get it. I understand. I do the same thing. Right? But when I go to church, for me, I want my Bible. I want my Bible. Right? And not only having one, but reading it matters. It really does. It matters. In the Bible, we find God's mind and God's will concerning life in Christ. And it's filled with principles to follow and promises to claim. The Bible. I thank God for my first pastor. He was a great guy. Love him to death. He's in heaven today. You know what he used to do, Tony, because we're a bunch of first generation? He would preach almost every Sunday. Morning, evening, Wednesday night. Read your Bible every day. 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 I mean, every message he preached, it was in there. Book of Joshua, Book of Revelation, he's preaching, read your Bible every day. You know why? Because he understood how important it was for me as a young Christian to read my Bible every day. Channing, you know what I do every day of my life? Not because I'm a pastor. I read my Bible every day. I did that before I became a pastor. Every day. I get in the book every single day of my life. I read my Bible. And then I prayed, God, now would you let the Bible read me? So I read it, and then I say, now read me. Show me what I need. Reveal to me what's in there that ought not be in there. We're encouraged to read the Bible and study the Bible. In fact, the psalmist encourages us to hide God's word, finish it with me, in your heart, that you might not sin against God. You know, that's a reference to memorizing it. Memorizing it. How many got memorized? How many script? You got some scripture memorized? How many? Raise your hand. Nice. Come on, I got scripture memorized. Yeah. Huh? When was the last time you memorized the Bible verse? When was the last time? Well, Pastor, I'm getting old. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. You memorize phone numbers and recipes and your favorite TV program, what time that comes on. I'm not going to stop this. Because these are the items God has given us to equip us for life. Young person, you'll never make it without ready referencing the Word of God. You're going to need it, I promise you. You're going to need it. And then, not only has He given us the Bible, but God has given us access to His throne. Think about that. I have access to God's throne. Right? If I had to put a phone call in right now to, who's our governor here? Don't mention his name. If I had to put a phone call into him and say, hey, Secretary, would you let Governor so-and-so know Pastor Nizzi's on the phone, I need to speak to him? How many of you think I'd get through to him?
No way.
No way. No way. Pastor who? From where? For what? Patch him through to the janitorial department. Probably wants some word on that parking lot. You know? Huh? How about the president? He's a believer. Isn't that what he tells us? Certainly, Pastor Yanizzi, certainly you call the president and get his personal assistant on the phone. Tell him who you are. For sure, he's going to take your call, call you back, right? How many think that'll happen? Steve Barber, you lying dog, you. No. And I wouldn't, look here, I wouldn't expect the governor to take my call. I wouldn't even try. Write him a letter, maybe. Give him a call. Not going to happen. But anytime, anywhere, any moment, Jeremiah 333. That's the phone number to heaven. Huh? Anywhere, I can just call out and have an audience with Almighty God. And if you've never read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 before, it says this, come boldly. Verse 15, because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who stands for us and prays for us, he said, come boldly. You know what that word boldness means? Confidently. Come confidently before the throne of grace, where you can obtain two wonderful things, mercy and grace. God gives us mercy and grace when? Just when we need it. That's what the Bible says. Look here, if you're not reading your Bible, and if you're not accessing the throne of grace, good grief, you are missing out on some of these wonderful disciplines, some of these gifts that God has given to us that builds us up for life. And I pray about everything. Huh? There are some times I leave out of here, I'm in a hurry to get to Wawa, and you know what I pray?
They have coffee.
They have coffee. They always have coffee. I pray Carol's not there. I pray there's nobody there that gets me into a conversation. See, you don't pray that. Okay. I do. I do. And when I go in and somebody is there, and I got to get, I must say, God, okay, you want me in this conversation. Right? But I have hid in the aisles until that person has left. No, I've not done that. I've not done that, I promise. You've seen me. You saw the top of my bald head sneaking by there. That must be Pastor trying to get away from me again. Oh, my soul. Hey, listen, we can share our burdens. Think about this. We can share our burdens. You know, there's some times I pray and say, Lord, I just want to unburden my heart right now. I just want to unburden my heart. I want to unburden our heart. He cares. We're encouraged to pray often, aren't we? And pray everywhere. Amen. And pray for everything. right? So how does God, what does he use to equip us for life? He uses gifted men and he uses these disciplines, the word of God, the throne of God. And then he places us in a community with other believers. It's called the church, right? And that's why you ought to be a member of a local church. Attending is wonderful. Membership is vitally important because then you place yourself under the umbrella of protection, under the authority of Almighty God. Huh? And you can, now listen, if you're a guest, you're a visitor, and you say, oh, that's my pastor, I'm honored by that. But biblically speaking, I'm really not your pastor until you join this local church. And by the way, you read through the New Testament, you know, Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Thessalonians. You know what they were? They were local churches. They had their own pastors, local assemblies. And so it's important for us to be members of this community. And you know what it's kind of like? I'm almost done now. You go to church, it's like a family reunion. Right? It's like a family reunion. You know, you start coming to church, you start expecting to see certain people there, and all of a sudden you look around and say, hey, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Where are they at today? Oh, they're not feeling good? Let me pray for them. Right? Family reunion. What a wonderful thing. We discover others who have some things in common. And you know what you find out? You find out this, that some of the people in God's family are struggling with some of the same things you're struggling with. You know what that does? It encourages you. I thought I was the only one feeling this way. I thought I was the only one going through this. I thought I was the only one that had a physical or a spiritual or an emotional struggle. No, man, it's just common. You discover that in church. Right? And here's the thing, we find help in this community of believers. Did you ever read Galatians chapter 6, verse 1? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Right? We find help in this community. And of course, in Hebrews 11, 25, we're encouraged to attend regularly. And so God's provided us with tools that help equip us for life. The Word of God, the throne of God, and the church of God. Right? Great tools that God has provided for us. And so the church, the Christian home, equips its children to do life. The church equips the family of God to do spiritual life. We'll look at this more next time. But let me just bring you back to our text of study and let me close. 2 Peter, again, chapter number 1. I want you to notice here that Peter reminds that God has provided us everything we need to be successful in life. And if you need an outline, here he is. In verse 2, he talks about God's presence. In verse 3, he talks about God's plan. And in verse 4, he talks about God's promises. Look at verse 4 and we'll finish. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of that is in this world through lust. So we have the presence of God, the plan of God, and the promises of God, right? And then he says this, as a result of that, go ahead and add to your faith. Add to your faith. And he lists these wonderful virtues that we ought to add to our faith, or these wonderful characteristics we ought to add to our faith. In other words, he's saying this, grow. Just go ahead and grow in the Lord. Equipped for life. That's what the family of God does. Equips us for spiritual life. I'm finished. Two questions before you leave. The first one is this. Are you a member of God's family? That's important. How many of us would say, Pastor, that's important? Go ahead, raise your hand. You agree with me? Isn't it important to be a member of God's family? Yeah. Right? Let me ask a question. Is membership still open? Yeah. Can people still get in? Yeah. You mean he hasn't closed the door yet? So if somebody today were to say, I want to be a member, they can? Now, you can't be a member of this church. No, 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 no. No, you got to pay your dues. You got to bake my favorite pie. No, membership in this church is open as well. However, it's easier to become a member of God's family than it is a member of this church. You say, what do I need to do? Just put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're a member of the family. Adopted in as an adult son with all the benefits. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6 says that, right? And now we can call him Abba Father. He becomes our heavenly Father. Amen? So if you're here this morning and you're not yet a member of God's family, we welcome you to join us. It's a great family. Oh, we got our nutcases. Just look around. It's a bunch of nincompoops in God's family. Knuckleheads. I'm a member of the family. Good grief. That speaks volumes, right? But it's a great family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and this body of brothers and sisters. The second question is this. If you are a member of God's family, are you equipping yourself for life? Are you prepared for the next thing that comes your way? Are you prepared for the next negative situation or positive situation? God may say to you today, hey, I got something special for you. I want you to do that. Are you prepared for that? Or life may say, well, it's your turn. That report's coming back and it's not going to be as pleasant or positive as... Are you prepared for that? See, God's family will equip you for life. We need to be equipped. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's so rich and wonderful. It gives us everything that we need. Thank you. Father, thank you for allowing us to call you God. Jesus, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for residing within us and giving us the daily help that we need. Thank you for the gifted men. Thank you for the disciplines that you place in our lives to help us to grow, to mature, and to equip us for life. If there's someone here this morning who has yet to take membership in your family, we pray for them. We pray you would open their eyes and soften their hearts and help them to be saved today. And for those of us who are, may we begin enjoying the benefits. May we allow your family, the gifted men in these disciplines, to equip us for life in general. We pray in Jesus' name and amen.